Would you turn to John chapter 4? John chapter 4. And I'm going to break the message up into two parts. We'll share a little bit right now. We have worship and then the rest of it. But John chapter 4, let me come back. I want to get to where some of the kids are, maybe, since they're seated with their families. Hey, I'm glad. Hey, Ian, yes, I remember you. I'm glad to see you back. When you think of worship, when you hear the word worship, what comes to mind? Maybe some of the kids would be willing to, yes, what comes to mind when you hear worship? Okay, about God and Jesus, right? That's who we're supposed to worship, right? We worship King Jesus. Anyone else? What do you think of when you hear worship? You think about, what's that? Following him. That's right. Jesus said, follow me, right? He called us all to follow him, and that's part of our worship expression. Anyone else? What comes to mind? Yes. Lorelai? All right, to praise him and ask him for help. That's good. All right, who else? Who else? I'm sorry. Yes, Wilder. He died for our sins. All right. All right, any big kids? Okay, well, you want to say another one? Yeah. All right. Living by his word. That's exactly right. That's what the Bible says. Offer your bodies, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and this is your reasonable service or your spiritual act of worship. That's how it's also translated. Imani?
Showing devotion and honor.
Showing devotion and honor. All right. Thank you. Anyone? Rick? All right. Honoring God for who he is. So honor. All these various expressions. When you think of worship, do you think about singing? It can be, right? John chapter 4 and verse 23, I believe it is. John chapter 4 and verse 23. This is Jesus speaking. And if you aren't already meditating on scripture and focusing on something, I want to encourage you. Would you think about the words of Jesus this week? Try to memorize it. Just read it every day, write it down, confess it, say it, and ultimately we want to live it out. But John chapter 4 and verse 23 says, but the hour is coming and now is. Would you say now is?
Now is.
When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. That means from the very core of our being with our heart. So worship in spirit and truth. So it's genuine. I'm not just putting on a show when I go to church, but it's every day, it's my life. So worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. And today, I want to, if I don't get anything else across, I hope that we'll all understand this. It's kind of like, it's about the heart. Worship is ultimately about our heart more than the song or the instrument or so forth. Those are all important, but they should be coming from the heart. And then that goes out into every area of my life. So you can help me on this one too. What about in God's word, what are some ways people express worship? Because here is the definition, I think, of worship as the expression of our faith, first of all, because if we don't believe in him, we're not gonna really worship him in spirit and truth. So expression of our faith, of our gratitude because of what he did for us, an expression of love. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. It's an expression of our reverence. He is holy and awesome. So an expression of our faith, of our gratitude, love, and reverence for the Lord. How did people express that worship? And I'll say worship, praise, thanksgiving, and all kind of grouped together under worship. How did people express worship in the Bible? Do you know of any ways? Caden?
I think grace is a good way. So if we say grace before a meal, I feel like that's a good thing.
Okay. And so prayer is an expression of worship. In fact, the Bible pictures both in the book of Revelation, prayer and worship rising up to the throne of God together. They're supposed to go together. Thank you. Anyone else? How did people express worship in the Bible, Amanya?
Praise
I'm sorry, what was that? Doing what?
Doing like little just everyday acts of kindness.
Okay. At serving the Lord? Acts of kindness every day in our daily walk, Kim?
Raising up our hands.
Lifting up our hands. I'm going to go back into that in just a moment, all right? And they did the sacrifice. That's right. They brought sacrifice at one time, animal sacrifices. And now today we're the sacrifice, living sacrifices, the Bible says. That's what the scripture talks about. Anyone else? Sing, Rick?
Dancing, playing,
and I'll say instruments, because in the Bible they had both the percussion instruments, or actually all three, percussion and... This isn't really strings, but this is. So percussion, strings, and there's one more. Wind instruments, like the shofar. All three categories of the instruments are expressed in worship to God in his word. Can anyone think of anything else?
Kneeling.
The word worship actually can mean to bow. So to kneel, to bow, all of those are expressions of worship. Now, here is the question I'd like to ask, and maybe we'll look up a few verses for this, all right? Let's see if you remember this, all right? Ready? Who do we worship? We worship King Jesus. Now, there's the question. Why do we worship him? All right? Now, let me give you a, because this is important to know. If we don't know this, we probably won't worship in spirit and in truth. So, let me give you a few verses if you want to write them down. We'll put them on the screen. It's Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm going to read these out of the New Living Translation. The kids, that's one of the translations they used back in the kids' church. So Hebrews chapter 1, why do we worship Jesus? First, we worship him for who he is. And then let me give you these scriptures in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. It says, now in these final days, he, God, has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. One reason we worship King Jesus is because he's the creator. Think about this power. He spoke, and the universe came into existence. Countless stars, everything. He spoke, and not only did he speak and it come into existence, it's by the power of his word that everything is held together today. So he says this in the next verse, verse 3, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. Let me talk about that radiation. God radiates the glory of God. Do y'all know this? Do you know that there is such an awesome light that's coming off of God's presence that in these bodies, we can't even stand in it because these bodies would die. These mortal bodies cannot stand the glory. It's too much for these bodies to handle. That's why we have to have new bodies. Thank God. No more disc issues, no more allergies, no more any of that. Thank God is right. And continuing in that verse, he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he cleansed us from our sins, because it was perfect, he sat down in the place of honor. Remember somebody said honor, at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Then he says this in verse 6, and when he brought his supreme Son into the world, God said, let all of God's angels worship him. Angels worship Jesus. We have a choice. We get to worship Jesus as king. And then verse 8, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God. See, Jesus is God the Son and the Son of God. That's why we worship him. And it says, your throne, O God, endures forever and ever, and you rule with a scepter of justice. So we worship God, or King Jesus, for who he is. Would you say that with me? We worship King Jesus for who he is. And then secondly, we worship King Jesus for what he does. And when I say does, that means like what he's already done, what he is doing, and what he still does for us. And this is what the Bible says in Hebrews 2:9. Again, I'll read it from the New Living Translation. Hebrews 2:9 says this, what we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels, and because he suffered death for us, I'll come back to that. He is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. So we worship him for who he is. He's just awesome God. But we worship him for what he does, what he did, what he's doing, and what he will yet do in the future. It says he, by God's grace, tasted death for everyone. It wasn't just that Jesus died on the cross physically. In a sense, he died spiritually because every one of us have broken God's commandments. That's called sin. It's not a mistake, it's sin. And so Jesus died on the cross because our sin separates us from this holy God. But Jesus took all of the punishment for my sins on the cross. That's why the cross is a focus for us. Jesus was nailed to the cross with something like this, through his hands and through both of his feet as they were crossed over. But these spikes is not what held Jesus to the cross. Because he could have called on angels. He has so much power. When they came to arrest him, he said, "Who are you seeking?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he went, "I am." And they fell over backwards. And then they got up again and said, "Who are you seeking?" I think I would have said, "I'm good." They said, "Jesus." And he said, "You got me. Let them go." Let his disciples, he let them take him. He let them spit on him, mock him, abuse him, beat him, pull his beard out of his face, whip him unmercifully, and then hang him on a cross for 6 hours. But it wasn't the nails that held him there. It was his love for you and me that held him. That's why we worship him. But just think, every lie I've ever told, Jesus paid for it. Every time I dishonored my parents, every wrong thought, every curse word, everything I've, all the sin, what I have or haven't done, all of us, Jesus suffered the wrath of God on the cross to show how much God loved us because he said, "Your sin has separated you from me, but I love you too much to just let you go. I'm gonna come reach you. And if you will follow me, believe my word, trust me, I'll credit all that my son did with you, and I'll place all of your sins on him." That's the great exchange. So who do we worship? We worship King Jesus. Real quick, two Psalms, and then we're gonna have a couple more songs. The Bible says this in the book of Psalms, if you wanna turn there with me, Psalms 47, right around the middle of your Bible, Psalms 47. I said, we were created to worship. Let me ask you this. How many of you, you might be familiar with this, maybe a little toddler, say there's a little preschool, it doesn't matter, maybe 1 or 2 years old. Let's just say, yeah, between 1 and 2. And they're somewhere where music starts playing. Do they just sit there? What do? I mean, if that's all they can do, that's what it's like in a little rocker even or something, they start moving because worship is in our nature. God created us to worship him. Does everyone worship him though? What about ball game? Some of you play sports. Right now, we've got the March Madness going on. If your team wins, does everybody just sit there? Because in our nature, right? They don't have to go to a class. Look, when your team wins, when you make a shot, when you make a basket, when you score the touchdown, we don't have to do any of that. But in church, might have to do a little something to urge the people on. But is he worthy? Psalm 47, verse 1. Here's a good thing we can do with our hands and palms on this Palm Sunday. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. All right, one more. Psalms 134. Psalm 134. And one verse. Verse verse 2. Psalms 134 and verse 2. Here's another activity we could do with our hands. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and do what? And bless the Lord. It's a way to bless the Lord. When Jesus left to return to heaven, he lifted up his hands and prayed a blessing over his disciples. So who do we worship? We worship King Jesus, and we worship him for who he is and for what he does. Let me invite the worship team to come back up. And we're going to sing a couple songs that I'm just going to have a closing part, and we'll share communion together. All right? Will you be one of the worshipers Jesus is seeking, that the Father is seeking to worship him in spirit and in truth? But I did want to just kind of close with, we looked at why we worship him. We worship King Jesus for who he is and what he does. And then I just wanted to kind of close with this of, why is worship important? And I'll give you this real quick, just three reasons. They're in the devotional here. I actually, one day's topic, I think it's day 12, asked the question. It's kind of like question and answer. What is worship and why is it important? So I wanted to just share this because, again, I want us to know why we worship and why it's important, because if we don't know either, we may not worship. We certainly won't worship maybe in spirit and in truth. So we worship King Jesus for who he is and what he does. And let me ask you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'll make this quick. I'm going to give you three words, all right? Priority, presence, and perspective. Let me join you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Priority, presence, and perspective. Would you say that with me? Priority, presence, and perspective. So let me, I also have, if any of the kids want a take-home coloring page for Palm Sunday, they're up here. I'll give those out in a minute. I'm going to get the kids to help me, hopefully, in one part of this here in just a moment. Priority means, what do you think that means? All right. First place, that's what priority means. Priority means Jesus is first place. That's what he said, the Lord our God, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. So they both kind of go together. If I love the Lord with all of my heart, then he's going to be first place. Priority, right? Priority. Now, here is where we can get into a little trouble, but let me give you the scripture for that. It's actually the first commandment. In Exodus chapter 20, I think it's in verse 3, the Lord said, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. So here's how we can make an idol today. Let's say I start looking to a person. I'm going to look to my spouse. And she is my source of security in life. And if she makes me feel insecure, what's that going to cause between us? You can, we'll wait on it. It's on, what? Turmoil. She said turmoil. It's going to cause trouble, conflict, because she can't live up to God's part. So if we begin to look to anything or anyone, let's say, first of all, to give us unconditional love. Now, I hope others love us unconditionally, but I'm talking about genuine, unconditional love. And then if someone puts a condition on it and I make them first place, you see what's that's going to happen there? God needs to be, Jesus is king. He's first place, no other gods before him. What if I look for peace in my circumstances? I was expecting this job. I was expecting this relationship. I was expecting this position. I was expecting a pay increase. It was going to give me peace. I was expecting good grades to give me peace. What happens when that disappoints me? Do you see what I'm saying? God offers unconditional love, grace, peace that goes beyond circumstances. Security. If I want to be secure in my life, I can't put that on someone else because they are human like me. And at times, people, even when they don't mean to, can let us down. God will never let us down. So priority. What place is he? First place. All right, so that's what priority means. Second word, presence. You found 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says this in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 3, 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. This is what the Bible teaches, that before we become believers, we have a veil, like a spiritual veil, that is over our eyes and over our heart, over our mind. And we can't see clearly, spiritually. But when we come to believe in Jesus as Lord, he takes the veil away. Then we see not just with these eyes, we see with our heart, and we see by faith what we don't see in unbelief. So the Bible says when one turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's liberty and freedom in God's presence. And then verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So here's how this can work. Let me ask all the kids who want to come up to come up here and help me. All right. And is that container open in the back? All right. I'm going to ask you to just, y'all grab a palm branch here or one or two, whatever. I think I've got plenty. Is that one? Sorry. All right. And then if you walk to the back of the, if y'all want to just share, I'm going to get y'all to line up in just a moment. Here you go, Wilder. Does anyone need, we got some extra. Ellie, you need one? You got? Everybody's good? All right. Then if you would just go back and all the way to the back. Miss Becky, would you mind showing them where that container is? Sorry, I've given her a few steps this morning. Here's what the Bible teaches about presence. When we worship the Lord, it's like we're drawing near to him. So priority, he's number one. And then because he's number one, I worship him in spirit and in truth. And when we worship him in spirit and in truth, the Bible says, draw near to God and he'll do what? He'll draw near to you. And this is what is so awesome about God's presence. The Bible says in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. So in God's presence, like God is everywhere, but we don't always sense that. And so in God's presence, we sense how awesome he is. This awesome God who radiates all of this glory. We sense his love for us. I've been in worship times where the presence of God was so strong. Sometimes it made me want to dance. And sometimes I would be on my knees weeping. That's just the moving of God's presence. It's our open heart, open heaven, and he moves. That's why when we worship in spirit and in truth, someone can be sensing the presence of God right here, and then someone right here senses nothing. Because it comes back to worship. It comes back to priority that invites his presence. And that scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18, says like this. We behold his glory in worship, and he transforms us from glory to glory. I get a little closer. I sense more of his grace. And what happens is in his presence, he changes us. Someone said the room for improvement is the largest room in the world. None of us have arrived. So because of that, we can still grow. And in God's presence, he changes us and we grow in Christ's likeness. That's the key to grow more like him. So let me give you a scripture and then I'll give you the third one. I'm gonna come back here over to kids. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you've got that scripture. Matthew chapter 21 describes Jesus coming into Jerusalem. All right? And this is what it says. The Lord told his disciples, one of them or two of them, to go get a colt that's like a baby donkey. And the special thing about this colt was no one had ever ridden him. Jesus was going to be the first one to ride this colt. And when he came in to the city, there was a prophecy, a prediction in the Bible written hundreds of years before Jesus came that said, your king is going to come to you. He's going to be riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey, and he's going to save you. So the people were saying, save now, Hosanna. That's what it means. Would you say Hosanna? Hosanna, save now, save us, Lord. And because they were going to make way for a king, they took some of their clothes. Now, everybody just walk up this way. I'll try to get you up here to the camera. All right, come up right here. All right, so just hold your palm branches, but lay your clothes on the center. I'll just lay them on the floor here. We're going to make a path for Jesus to come in. Now, if the Lord were to return today, all right, just come on. You don't have to worry about it. It's okay. That colt doesn't care. He's going to step on it. We're just making way for the king. All right? Y'all doing good? Come on. Come on. All right? There you go. All right. Now, come on up here. Just finish laying the clothes down. And then if half of you maybe get on this side, and then some on this side. And this is what the Bible says, that as Jesus the king was coming in, the people took their palm branches and they waved them and they began to sing. Let me grab a palm branch here. This is what they sang, okay? Which means save now, save us, Lord. We hear F. And they began to sing this. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. See the words back on the screen. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Lord, we lift up your name. Lord, we lift up your name with our hearts filled with praise. With our hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord. Be exalted, O Lord, our God. Hosanna in the highest. Okay, so as the people were doing that and they're worshiping, Jesus comes in. Now, Jesus comes in, he's getting into the city. People are praising him. And he looks at the city of Jerusalem and he starts weeping and crying. Why do you think Jesus was crying? I'm gonna put the scripture up. So in the New Living Translation, and this is how it says, because the scripture talks about why he worshiped. I think it's verse 44. Is that it? When Jesus looked at the city, he was weeping because he knew that enemies were gonna come in and destroy it. And they said, they'll crush you to the ground. Your children with you, your enemies will not leave a single stone in place. And here's why, because you did not recognize it when God visited you. Here is the problem. Some people were there that day, but Jesus was not first place. He was not their priority as king. As a result, they were here, but they weren't really enjoying his presence. And then the third word, it affected their perspective. They didn't recognize when God came in to save them and they rejected him. Perspective. Do you know what perspective means?
It's someone else's view.
Okay, that's exactly right. It's how we see things, all right? So let me show you. Just stay right here with me one moment. I'm gonna be done. The Bible says, I will praise the name of God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Now, if
Can y'all see my hand? See what size it is? Does it look like it's any bigger? Does it look nasty? No, it's dirty. My hands are clean. Now, did my hand actually get bigger, or just what I focused on magnified it and made it look bigger? It made it look bigger. That was my perspective, right? So what we focus on seems to grow. If y'all haven't learned that, you will. If you focus on something that's bad and negative, are you going to feel happy?
No.
But if we focus on the Lord and magnify him, it affects how we see life. So if I take these glasses off, I can't see the hands on the clock back there. That's my perspective. But if I put my glasses on, my perspective changes. It's how I see everything. So if we want to see life from God's perspective, we have to magnify him and focus on him. Then he helps us see life. Now, if I magnify the Lord, what does it mean? It means I magnify him over my problem. I magnify him over that person that's getting on my nerves. I magnify him over my lack. I magnify him over every devil, over every trial and problem and temptation, because he is greater. Because if he's my priority, first place, and I just make it a habit to live in his presence, it's going to affect my perspective, and I can't just live on this level. I got to live with the light of heaven shining on. In his light, we see light. Priority, presence, perspective. All right, thank you for your help. Y'all can go back. I'm going to, let me show you one. Yeah, you keep those. We're going to use them again. Here, let me, I don't know if y'all remember this. Would you turn around? I'm going to change your perspective, what you see. What do you see?
Nothing.
Nothing. No, you know what these are for? An eclipse, that's exactly right.
I know.
For an eclipse, you want to look through? Did that change how you see things?
I can't see.
You can't see anything, that's right.
I do.
Yeah. But if you go outside and look at the sun, you could probably see that.
I could see very little.
Yeah, not much, huh? All right. Thank y'all. Y'all can go ahead and have a seat. I'll let you do this after we're done if you want, okay? All right. So who do we worship? We worship King Jesus. Let me read this last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 says this. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we do not focus. Would you say focus?
Focus?
We do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Thank God. See, the people had a wrong perspective. Again, he was not first place. They didn't enjoy his presence. And their perspective was, you should save us from our government, the Roman military. Jesus didn't come to initially save us from a government. He came to save us from our sins and change our heart. That's why he went to the cross. And that's why we worship him. Can we stand together? Hosanna. Not right yet. Instead of saying, just save now, let me ask you this. Have you said, Hosanna, save me now? Is Jesus your King, your God, and your Lord? If not, would you make him as your King, your God, and your Lord today? Just from your heart to say, I know I've sinned. I've broken God's commandments, and I'm sorry. But I believe God loved me, and I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe he's alive right now. And Jesus, I believe in you. I confess you as my Lord, my God, and my King. Forgive me and help me to live for you. That's the worship that we begin with. And then just walk it out every day, staying close to the Lord. Can we just sing this before we share communion?